My name is Randy Seraglio. I'm a Southwest Conservation Advocate with the Center for Biological Diversity. We are a nonprofit organization that works to protect threatened and endangered species and their habitats. We work on a lot of different issues, but with respect to the border, it's a very important issue for us because it does affect so many species directly, and it does have a tremendous impact on their habitat. The activities, both the construction that has occurred along the border and the operational activities that occur in the context of border security and border enforcement. So normally what we do is we use the excellent environmental laws in this country that are at our disposal, such as the Endangered Species Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, and we often litigate whenever the government is not following its own laws or violating its own laws. And that has been extremely successful for us. The problem with the border and doing work around the border is that our government has chosen to treat the border as sort of a national security emergency situation. And they have been able to waive environmental laws with regard to border construction. And actually now there's legislation pending in Congress to take that a step further. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. But with regard to construction of the border wall itself, which is kind of the flashpoint for a lot of people, you know, they initiated these processes to begin construction of this massive infrastructure along the U.S.-Mexico border. And in doing so, they realized that they were going to run into a lot of opposition because groups like ours and other conservation groups were going to force them to analyze these proposals very closely and determine what the environmental impacts are going to be under existing law. And the National Environmental Policy Act in particular requires the government, whenever there's any sort of significant federal action, you know, such as building billions of dollars worth of wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, they have to initiate a long process of an environmental impact statement to determine what the impacts are going to be on both the human and the natural environment. That includes border communities, the people who live there, mm-hmm. not just the species, other species. So under the Bush administration, which they used a similar tactic as they did after 9/11 with the Patriot Act, you know, they whipped up this hysteria and this, you know, this fervor over the invasion of our country by, you know, people from south of the border. That's the rhetoric they used. And they were able to waive all these environmental laws that we normally use to protect the environment. And so it wasn't too surprising to see that a tremendous amount of damage resulted from this.
When did that start? When did they start waving
the... There was a big throwdown over the San Pedro Riparian National Conservation Area. The San Pedro River is a biodiversity jewel. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing place. Over half the birds in the whole North America are found there. That's a place that we've spent 20 years fighting to protect from various other threats. And then they wanted to run a border wall right across it. And we said, well, this is ridiculous, you know, and other groups weighed in as well and said, this is going to change the river. It's going to, you know, totally ruin the normal, you know, habitat and stream morphology and aspects of the river that make it so special. And so when they did a kind of a, you know, a half-hearted environmental analysis of what would happen there and said, oh, no problem, this is not going to cause any problems at all, they were sued. The government was sued under the citizen suit provisions of these environmental laws. And then they waived the environmental laws. They said, okay, well, we're just going to institute this waiver. And that was done by Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff. So here you have a profoundly anti-democratic situation where one appointed bureaucrat who's intensely political with an agenda, an obvious agenda, is able to waive dozens of environmental laws just across the board. And also thrown in with that were, you know, Native American cultural protection laws and historical protection laws. You know, I mean, they waived everything that could possibly stand in their way. And it was dozens of laws. And then Chertoff later decided this was such a good idea and so convenient for Homeland Security that they did a blanket waiver across the entire 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexico border as a preemptive move to prevent the kind of resistance that they were seeing from groups like ours. So they preemptively waived all these laws across the entire 2,000-mile border with regard specifically to construction of the border wall.
So right along the very line, or was there a little...
Well, the way the language works is it's the construction itself, which is a narrow band right along the border, but also the support activities required for that construction. So you have areas that they've bladed for heavy equipment and to store materials and whatever else, you know. And there were roads, obviously, that were put in to access certain areas and all that sort of stuff. You know, so there it was more than just one narrow little band across the border. But and, of course, the impacts are landscape scale in their effect. I mean, what you're doing, basically, is you're taking this holistic ecosystem and you're splitting it in two. So that animals on the north side can no longer get to the south side and vice versa. There may be, you know, breeding populations that need to interbreed with each other to maintain genetic diversity. They have seasonal movements where the, you know, forage is good here at sometimes and over there at others. They need water sources. So sometimes the water source is on one side of the border and then the food is on the other. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways that this disrupts normal wildlife habitat. And movements. And the pedestrian fence, what they call the pedestrian fence, which you know we call a wall because it functions as a wall, it has very tiny little mesh, and virtually no animal of any size can get through there. I mean, not even snakes or toads or frogs. You know, it's a pretty tight mesh. And then there's other areas where there's vehicle barriers, which are not as disruptive. And there's our security establishment hard at work in the background there. it's almost like they know, you know? So we're in a flight path of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base here, so probably the F-22 swooping over right now. Your tax dollars at work.
Yes.
So as is often the case with security work, this became a major boondoggle. It's billions of dollars. And the net effect was not to stop undocumented immigration into the United States because even the Border Patrol admitted that it's a speed bump in the desert, that it slows people down by about 5 minutes, if that. And I've seen lots of photos and video of, you know, high school kids and 60-year-old ranchers and various people like that climbing over the fence showing just how easily it can be done. And if you live anywhere near Nogales, Arizona, you know how easy it is to go under the fence. And, of course, the fence doesn't cover the whole border, so it's pretty easy to go around it as well. So what it does do is it totally disrupts wildlife movement. It has caused major flooding and erosion in places like Oregon Pipe National Monument and Nogales, Sonora. It's if it is allowed to proceed any further, it will basically prevent jaguar and ocelot from recolonizing Arizona. Those are two endangered species that are starting to show up again in Arizona. They lived here for thousands of years, but then they were wiped out when settlement moved west, and they came into conflict with ranchers. And, you know, these are species that we work to protect, and there's a lot of good habitat in Arizona for species like that. And yet, if this border wall is allowed to proceed any further, they're going to be completely cut off from the ability to disperse up into Arizona. And that would be a tragedy. It really would. Not just for the animal itself, but, you know, for the place we call home. You know, I mean, a lot of people really believe that it's important for jaguar to be out there. It's thrilling to them to think that there could be jaguar living in these mountains right around this city right here in Tucson, Arizona. And there should be. There should be animals like that in the wild in Arizona. So, you know, we've been working hard with more of a grassroots organizing and a legislative tack to try to ward off further construction of the border wall because it's kind of the most immediate threat. But there's a lot of other ways that this plays out and damages both the environment and the communities along the border. Giving the Border Patrol carte blanche to go wherever they will and do whatever they please is not a good idea in our book, and it's, you know, a lot of other people agree with that. And I think, you know, one of the biggest problems is both the fear and the ignorance that drive this issue among the American populace. You know, a lot of the loudest voices in Congress for border security and enforcement come from Colorado and New Jersey and Indiana and, you know, other places. And a lot of people who support this have a completely distorted impression of what it's really like down here. They have no idea of the biodiversity that exists here. They think it's just a bunch of sand, you know, yeah. It's just a desert. This is one of the most biodiverse places in the entire continent. It's right here in the border region, in the Sky Island region of southern Arizona. You have, you know, deserts, but you have mountains that rise up into conifer forests. And you have different life zones all the way up and down those mountains. Every 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet, there's a different set of plants and animals. So the biodiversity is spectacular. It's really an amazing place, and I think very few people understand that. And then secondly, you know, the whole issue of immigration is one of the least understood issues, I think, of any political issue. You know, people have no idea of the economic contribution that migrants make to the U.S. economy. You know, they have no idea of the driving factors and the political catch-22s that cause people to migrate in the first place. You know, it's a common story in our history where politicians have used fear and taken advantage of ignorance to push an agenda that just normally can't get any traction at all. And I think this is just the latest example of that. So right now, what's happening in Congress is there are efforts underway to kind of put this waiver situation on steroids. There's several bills that have been introduced which would waive these laws that have already been waived with specific to border construction, but they would waive them in a huge swath of land along the U.S.
border. So before they were temporarily waived during the construction?
Yeah, they were waived to facilitate the emergency construction of the border wall.
Okay.
That was the excuse that was given. And that waiver authority was granted in a very close congressional vote as part of the Real ID Act when that was passed about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, at the time, they strong-armed, you know, congressional representatives with the promise that they were going to use it in a very limited fashion. It was only for one little section of fence that they wanted to build over near San Diego. And is, you know, 14 miles, that's all, you know. And it was a close vote, and representatives went along with it because DHS was telling them this is a national security emergency. You know, that was the language they were using. And now, of course, we have 2,000-mile waiver, and we have, you know, border walls and vehicle barriers that have been constructed across about 650 miles, about a third of the border.
How much of that is in Arizona, do you know?
About half. I think we have somewhere around 300 miles of barriers at this point, both vehicle and pedestrian fence. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of slight variations of each of those. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of Arizona now has, Arizona border has some sort of barrier. There's a lot less over in Texas, a lot less barriers over there.
Right.
So, you know, as we know, this is the busiest corridor for undocumented immigration. So it's not surprising they would focus here, you know, with the barriers. But, of course, it hasn't worked. So, so much for that strategy. So the bills that are in Congress right now, there's a bill introduced by Ron Bishop of Utah that would waive all laws within a 100-mile swath of the U.S.-Mexico border, or of the all U.S. land and maritime borders. I'm sorry. This would include Canada. It would include maritime borders. So basically, with
100-mile buffer zones.
Buffer zone, yeah. Where
along the coasts, too?
Along the coast, along the Canadian border. So if you measure the width of Florida, you will discover that the entire state of Florida is included in this waiver on steroids, basically. You know, this would be just a terrible idea. And it's with regard to border security, you know, to enforcement. But any number of things could happen in that context. You know, in Mexico, we see, you know, proposals to spray vast areas with pesticides to kill vegetation that allows immigrants to hide from the Border Patrol. I mean, it's a nightmare waiting to happen. What is that going to do to the people who live in those communities? What is that going to do to the water quality of the Rio Grande? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, without environmental analysis, we're not even going to know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that's probably the way they want it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the whole point is that to them, the motivation for border enforcement is so strong, the need is so urgent that these other laws don't matter anymore. It doesn't make sense to slow down and carefully analyze, you know, what the environmental impacts are going to be. And really, it's a nightmare. It's reminiscent of Agent Orange in Vietnam, something they're still dealing with to this day in Vietnam, the fallout from that strategy. You know, wouldn't be nearly on that scale, but for the people who live along that border zone right there, it could be just as devastating.
Essentially, if this bill were to pass, then that would make communities, people, animals, species, and in within this 100-mile buffer zone, they are vulnerable to whatever, right? Yep.
Vulnerable to whatever plan or strategy the government would come up with. Homeland Security would have total control,
and they would have no. They would not have to make any sort of environmental impact statement, any sort of human impact statement.
None.
They would just be able to do whatever they wanted without any congressional oversight as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is Congress passing a bill saying, we trust you guys, do whatever you want.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is the only way to really respond to that. It's kind of shocking in a democratic society to see something like that occur. And the problem is that's not the only bill.
How much support does this bill have? Right. Well, what's the timeline with this bill?
You know, considering the current makeup of the House of Representatives, this bill is likely to pass the House. It probably will run into some roadblocks in the Senate, considering the current makeup of the U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not likely that, you know, this bill is going to get too much opposition in the House. I mean, a lot of politicians are still kind of afraid to speak out against this madness. We think the tide is starting to turn, and actually, you know, there is data available very soon that we're going to roll out showing that, nice. You know, maybe people aren't so sure about border walls after all. But, you know, it takes a long time to turn the political ship of state on stuff like this. You know, I mean, it's very much a pack mentality in Congress. So not too many people who are willing to go out on a limb and say this is madness and look soft on immigration, you know. So there's other bills. Senator McCain and Senator Kyle of Arizona, they have collaborated on a bill which would guarantee DHS access and ability to do whatever they want on all public lands within 150 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. So this is only limited to the U.S.-Mexico border. And it's only limited to public lands, which still is a huge swath of land, because most of Arizona's border with Mexico is, you know, national monument, national forest, wildlife refuges. You know, very little of it is private land. So it would, and 150 miles is an even wider swath. I mean, that's all the way up to Phoenix. So
right. You
have national monuments that are north of Tucson that would be included. And again, it would give Customs and Border Patrol the ability to just go willy-nilly wherever they please. And a lot of the environmental damage that's done is simply by vehicles driving thousands of miles through all over the desert, creating thousands of miles of new roads, which does a permanent damage to the desert, really, because of the dryness, the aridity of the climate, you know, the fragile soil. Once you make a road, it stays. It really stays for a long time unless you go in and rehabilitate it and restore that area. So on the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge alone, there's anywhere from 8,000 to 24,000 miles of roads that have been you know, just wildcat roads that have been blasted in there, a lot of which were made by drug smugglers, and a lot of which were made by Border Patrol chasing drug smugglers. So, I mean, it's like, you know, both sides are creating this problem. But if you think about how many vehicles are out there running around chasing people, you know, thousands of them every day, the amount of damage they do is tremendous. It really is. So that bill sort of is presenting itself in a way as a more sensible approach than the Bishop bill, which creates this huge area all over, you know, all around the United States. But again, to us, it's no more sensible. I mean, those public lands are some of the most sensitive environmental areas. So they're focusing in on the places that really need the most protection, and they're saying these places don't deserve any protection.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, the way this situation exists now, there has been a memorandum of understanding signed between Homeland Security and the Department of the Interior that manages many of these public lands. And they have worked together to improve collaboration over the last several years. And I will say that DHS has done a much better job of, you know, listening to the concerns of land managers and the agencies, you know, that manage these public lands, and trying to, you know, work around some of the more egregious impacts. And that relationship has gotten better over the years, not worse. So it doesn't make any sense to just blow that out of the water and say, oh, well, we're having this problem of access, and we need to waive all these laws. We need to let DHS do whatever they want. You know, a lot of people don't understand that the legality of it is that Customs and Border Patrol can go anywhere they want, even into wilderness areas, if they're in pursuit or if there's an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's already access guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's enshrined in law. So, you know, for them to blow these environmental laws out of the water under that pretext is really kind of just a political move. And if you look at Representative Bishop's environmental record, it's one of the worst in Congress. This guy has had an animus against environmental laws for many years. He is implementing his agenda with this excuse of border security. And it's, again, the parallel with the Patriot Act and 9/11 is very close. It's very similar.
Yeah. So what would his agenda be beyond, like, is there some, what's his...
Beyond wiping out environmental laws?
Right, yeah, what is his motive there?
That seems to be the core of his agenda.
His agenda obviously seems to be to wipe out environmental laws.
Yeah, but Representative Bishop is, you know, I mean, he has been beating this border security drum the last few years, and but he's been, you know, beating the drum against environmental laws for a lot longer than that. So for him, it's probably just a tidy little nexus that he can exploit. You know?
Right.
It serves its purpose. And really, you know, if you keep people in fear and you should show them that you're doing something to address their fears, even if it doesn't work, then they're more likely to vote for you. I mean, that's very simple, too. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it was the communists, and then it was the war on drugs, and now it's the terrorists, and now it's this invasion from Mexico.
Right. So in the same sense, the McCain-Kyle bill is serving the same purpose, or or do you see some other even further deeper motive for wanting to have, you know, get rid of environmental laws or waive environmental laws along in the border region?
I think that, you know, it sets a precedent, which is really dangerous, that environmental protections can be jettisoned whenever it's convenient or deemed necessary to do so. And I mean, the only analogy that I can think of is throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, it's like, oh, we're working so hard to protect these areas that we're going to have to kind of destroy them in order to protect them. And here's this border region that's being overrun with people that are being driven out into these remote and environmentally sensitive areas as a matter of conscious policy for the last 15 or 20 years now. And here comes the agencies driving around all over the place out there chasing them. And meanwhile, at our ports of entry, we're only apprehending about 30% of the people and the contraband that come through. And in fact, 90% of the contraband that comes into this country comes through the ports of entries. So if that isn't a case of misplaced resources, I don't know what is. I mean, we've created this Pac-Man game out in the desert, you know, chasing, just expending huge amounts of money on, the personnel and the walls and the vehicles and the technology and everything else that they put out there to try to cover this vast landscape, which you can't really cover. It's too rugged. It's too remote. There's no way they're going to stop people from going through there. We know that now. And in the meantime, people are still walking through the front door. It's ridiculous. It really is. So, you know, one of the things that we've been pushing for in Congress is to refocus some of our energies where they would have the most bang for the buck. You know, let's look at modernizing the ports of entries. Let's look at doing a better job maintaining a professional presence there. And, of course, the beneficial tangent there is, you know, truckers from Mexico won't have to sit there for 12 hours to get across the border. Anyone who's been at the Mariposa Crossing near Nogales will tell you that it's not working. Yeah. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You've seen it many times. I mean, it can take them days sometimes to get across the border.
Yeah.
Is that good for commerce? I don't think so. It's a really bad situation. So the ports of entries need to be modernized. And the focus should be there in time of limited resources. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to expend so much time and effort forcing people out into the desert and then chasing them out into the desert. So, you know, you need to have comprehensive immigration reform, you know, of course. You know, I work for a conservation organization. You know, that's not our bailiwick. There's lots of other excellent groups out there that are working to make that happen. But I will say that one way or another, you have to acknowledge the economic impact, the benefits that result from migration from Mexico to the United States. You have to set up a system that allows people to go back and forth in an orderly and legal way. And, of course, those workers' rights have to be protected. I mean, I think if you can accomplish those things, you can solve your immigration problem for the most part. And you'll solve the problem of people running willy-nilly across the desert. I mean, that's pretty simple. In the meantime, though, it doesn't make sense to continue doing this kind of damage to our own lands, you know, in pursuit of a failed policy.
Mm-hmm. And do you see, well, obviously with these laws that you just mentioned, you probably could see the motivation to continue to reinforce the border and to continue this idea of fencing the border and putting walls and more technology and all this sort of stuff. So is the Center for Biological Diversity, have active campaigns that you're...
Yes, well, we have about 320,000 online members and supporters. So when we initiate some grassroots lobbying effort, you know, to get people to contact the representatives, it does have an impact. And we also have one of our senior attorneys works in D.C., and he works on a lot of different issues, but he works on this one as well. The best we can do right now is to try to hold the door against any more waivers or any more wall construction. And there are, you know, repeatedly and continually there's efforts in Congress to extend the wall or make it a double wall or a triple wall or, you know, push for any number of other construction projects to get it done. And I will say also that obviously a tangential part of this is that with billions of dollars flying around, to be had, there is some political push to continue with this construction work, you know, because it's hugely expensive, which means, you know, to the taxpayer, it's hugely profitable to someone in the private sector who's making money off of this.
I did want to ask you about that because there is, for example, the SBI net program that was canceled actually, you know, in January, but, the company Boeing, Incorporation did get approximately $700 million contract to create a quote-unquote virtual wall. Mm. And they were working out between Nogales, west of Nogales, and Sasebe, right along the border in Arizona, putting up these surveillance towers, if I remember correctly. And uh, But I'm wondering, do they, if it's a private sector that's constructing or using, I think they were even use, they were putting these on the on a wildlife refuge too. Do they have to, like a private company, do they have any sort of legal obligation to put out some sort of impact statement or?
No, I mean, if it's federal dollars paying for it though, then yeah, that's what triggers the federal nexus.
Yeah.
So it's a federal action. If the government has contracted with Boeing to build this, you know, multi, you know, whatever, billion-dollar, you know, technology out there in the desert, then that would normally trigger environmental review. But, again, I think that falls under the waiver because it's border construction. You're actually constructing these, you know, this virtual fence.
So it's the same waiver.
As opposed to... Now, I will say that there was a lot of bad blood over this between land managers and with this SBINet stuff. There were complaints about where these things were being placed. You know, and there was some communication that happened as a result of that. And then, but, of course, now the whole thing has been shown not to work, and Napolitano has pulled the plug on it. This is for the same reason that the border wall doesn't work.
Yeah.
The terrain is too rugged. It's too remote. It's finding people out there is like, you know, it's like finding, you know, it's like finding a mouse in a football field, you know. I mean, where, I mean, that's a bad analogy because the football field is flat, but, I mean, really, it's very difficult. And even with their technology, they couldn't cover all the canyons, all the mountains, all the, you know, I mean, and the technology wasn't good enough to discern what they wanted to know, which is where are the people going? Where are the people?
They have, well, now they have, they pulled the plug on SBINet, but now they have what they call some, the alternative technology.
Yeah.
Supposedly the new evolution of the SBINet.
They have been instituting some mobile equipment, which is not a fixed, you know, construction. Yeah. It's mounted, I guess, on vehicles and stuff. And, of course, they already have motion sensors and, and infrared detection equipment and everything like that in various places along the border. So, I mean, there already is a lot of high-tech, expensive hardware out there. And again, you know, these are the same companies that have been profiting from U.S. taxpayers for many years with regard to the drug war or to terrorism or to wars abroad or whatever. You know, these contractors are used to pulling in money like this.
Uh-huh.
So now they see this growth field of, oh, wow, look at this, border security. It's a whole new... You know, and now there's trade association meetings and everything about border security. Look how much money there is to be made here. Holy man, this border fence costs $6 to $9 million per mile. And there's still 1,300 and some miles that aren't fenced off yet. So just do the math there, man. That's a lot of money. That's a huge sum of money that some people just can't wait to get their hands on.
Yeah.
And that creates political pressure.
Political pressure, which makes that your job harder trying to stop it, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think we're going to be able to make a couple key points. Mm-hmm. Number one, you know, obviously DHS is not a construction company. This is not their expertise. Their efforts at border construction have been dismally failures. Dismal failures. And they shouldn't... And in any stretch of the imagination, they should not be granted the ability to pursue these projects without any kind of environmental oversight. And, you know, Secretary Napolitano has said that she's not going to implement the waiver, but she doesn't want to relinquish the authority either. So there's no effort, you know, at this point in the administration to say, well, we think this waiver authority is a bad idea. It was handed them by the Bush administration, and they're going to keep it in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as that exists, you know, then, you know, any administration down the road could use it.
Yeah.
Even this one, you know. So beyond that, you know, now we see these bills in Congress to make it even worse. Representative Quayle has a bill that would extend the waiver to within 150 miles of all federal lands along the U.S.-Mexico border. And that includes military reservations and Native American reservations. So that adds a whole nother huge swath of land to this waiver situation. When you say public lands, you're talking about, you know, wildlife refuges, national forests, national parks, national monuments, that kind of stuff. But when you say federal lands, then you're including military bases and Indian land. So, you know, then imagine if you're living on the Tohono O'odham Reservation, and all of a sudden every acre of your reservation is no longer protected by these environmental laws. I mean, thanks, you know.
Yeah.
Gee, you know, we love you too, but we kind of would prefer to live in a healthy environment, you know. And it just kills me that they excuse it by saying, you know, we're trying to protect you. Well, I mean, the people who live on the reservation will be the first ones to tell you that Border Patrol create a menace out there, driving around chasing people. And the policy itself has made their lives miserable for many years now. The whole policy, the whole strategy of driving people out into the desert. I mean, there never used to be this kind of problem on the Tohono O'odham Reservation. Mm-hmm. Of course, they themselves would cross back and forth over the border because their culture is northern Mexico and southern Arizona. It's the Sonoran Desert. It's not divided by a line on a map, you know. So now not only are people running willy-nilly through their reservation by the thousands, also they have tremendous problems going back and forth across the border. It's a huge problem for them out there. So, you know, every time they try to explain that they're doing this to protect people who live along the border, I just have to laugh. It's kind of a sick joke.
Well, thanks a lot, Randy, for sharing. Is there any place that people can go to find more information about your work and the work of the center?
Yeah,
especially around?
Our website is www.biologicaldiversity.org, and we do have a border campaign page. And we are looking forward to some positive legislation. In the past, Representative Raul Grijalva has introduced legislation to reform how these decisions are made along the border and to mandate mitigation of the damage that has already been done and monitoring of the effects of all this border enforcement activity and repealing the waiver authority that's granted to the administration to waive all of these environmental laws and other laws. So hopefully that will come up before too long, and it's good to push positive solutions like that because, you know, otherwise you're just operating in this vacuum and then, you know, all you have are these other border bills for consideration, you know. So it's very important to support efforts by representatives like Representative Grijalva. It's a common sense approach that would improve on the collaboration that has already developed between the agencies and also, you know, get rid of the waiver authority.
Are these bills going to be discussed in the fall?
These bills are maybe moving pretty soon. You know, it all depends. A lot of it is going to depend on maybe, you know, what sort of deals are struck. There's all these competing bills that sort of address the same issue, you know. And, of course, you know, there's hearings and committees and things like that. There may be hearings, you know, within a few weeks. On the Bishop bill or some of these other bills. So, but sooner or later, there'll have to be some kind of compromise between what happens in the Senate and what happens in the House.
Right.
So at that point, then whatever's on the table is, you know, is what they pick and choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important to get Representative Grijalva's bill out there with some of the more common sense approach, you know, to this problem.
Right, good. And if people want to contact you,
I'm here in the Tucson office at 520-396-1143. And I'm on our website. You can find me on our website on the staff page. My contact info is there as well.
Great. Thank you so much, Randy.
Thanks a lot.